One of the reasons God asks us to join together in local churches, to be a part of a group like this, and to assemble together in a place like this for worship and mutual fellowship with one another. One of the reasons for that is so that we can encourage one another, so that we can be there for each other and lift one another up and help one another become better for our interactions with each other. Twice Paul tells the Thessalonians to encourage one another. That's an instruction Paul gives them. He does it in 1 Thessalonians 4:18 and again in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another. He later added in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14 that we should encourage the faint-hearted. That's part of our job. That's part of why we're here, what we're doing, is that we need to be people who are encouraging one another, maybe even especially those who need that encouragement most. Picking up those who are faint-hearted and encouraging them. The Hebrews writer said to encourage one another day after day in chapter 3 and verse 13. And again in chapter 10 and verse 25, the Hebrew writer said, encourage one another. Simple instruction. Now, I doubt very much that there's anyone here who is willing to deny the biblical expectation that we're supposed to be encouraging one another. I think I could poll this congregation and everyone here would say, yes, that's something we're supposed to be doing. We need to be encouraging one another. We need to be building one another up. But the Bible also specifically warns against doing spiritual damage to one another. There are explicit warnings in Scripture that we need to be careful, that you and I need to be careful not to even inadvertently tear one another down. Like Galatians chapter 5, verse 15, Paul warns the Galatians not to bite and devour one another. He says, you might find yourselves biting and devouring one another, and if you're doing that, it won't be long before you are consumed. There's nothing left because you've torn one another down. Jesus warns us in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, at various times. Jesus warns us not to cause others to stumble. Don't put stumbling blocks in front of other people. In fact, when Jesus says that, he says it would be better for you to have a millstone hung around your neck and be cast into the sea than to cause one of your brothers to stumble. These warnings are necessary, not because we don't want to be encouragers, right? We know we need to be encouragers. We want to be encouragers. But the Bible gives us these warnings, and these warnings are necessary because the potential for harming one another is real. Sometimes we harm one another even when we don't mean to, even when we don't want to. Because even with the best of intentions, we sometimes say or do things that lead to discouragement in those around us. I want to offer a few thoughts from Scripture this morning to challenge us to become encouragers, to become intentional encouragers all the time. And I want to do that by asking and trying to answer two questions. The first is this: why do we sometimes fail to be encouragers? What is it that often stands in our way that keeps us from being the kind of encouragement to one another that we need? I think a couple of answers we could provide to this kind of question, things that keep us from being encouragers. I think sometimes we simply fail to be encouragers because we have a misguided zeal for truth. Now, I want to qualify that statement because that's a heavy statement, right? I think sometimes we have a misguided zeal for truth, but I want to be clear about this. We as God's people need to be zealous for truth. That's a good thing. To have a zeal for truth is not just a good thing, but it is a necessary thing for God's people. We need to be firmly immovable when it comes to God's word, making our stand there. However, here's what I mean by this point. We sometimes have a misguided zeal for truth. However, upholding the truth does not require us to communicate the truth in such a way as to discourage those who are less mature or who are not as far along as us. To make this point, I want to take us over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, excuse me, chapter 4. No, chapter 5. Yet when I don't write the chapter in my Bible, I don't know where I'm going. In my notes, that is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, excuse me. And I want to notice what Paul teaches in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul says down in verse 14, look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 14. He says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." Paul says that there is absolutely a time to admonish the unruly. That is, there is a time to take a vigorous stand for truth and not accept anybody's excuses or not accept anybody's immaturity any longer. There comes a point where somebody becomes unruly and you have to say, that is not acceptable. But notice how Paul qualifies that, even in verse 14. Paul qualifies that by saying that we need to admonish the unruly while at the same time encouraging the faint-hearted, helping the weak, and being patient with everyone. Yes, there is definitely a time for admonishing the unruly, but that instruction is sandwiched between other instructions in verse 14 to encourage the faint-hearted, and even back up in verse 11, which we cited a moment ago, to encourage one another. Coming down harshly on someone is only effective after we've done everything in our power to patiently help and encourage them to grow and mature. Can I say that one more time? That was a big sentence. Coming down harshly on someone is only effective after we've done everything in our power to patiently help and encourage them to grow and mature. So we should avoid shooting down our own, shouldn't we, in the name of pursuing truth? Yes, we should pursue truth and we should pursue it vigorously, but don't let that become the reason that we allow ourselves to discourage one another. We can stand in truth and we can uplift one another. We can stand for truth and we can encourage one another. We can stand firm for God's word while at the same time inspiring growth in one another. Sometimes we fail to encourage others because we simply lack the thoughtfulness that that requires. Because it does take thoughtfulness to be an encourager. I love the wording of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, this is what the Hebrews writer says. He says that we need to consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Being an encourager requires consideration and forethought. And yet, how often do we speak without really ever considering how our words will be perceived or how they're going to come across to someone else? I doubt very much that we set out to discourage other people with our words. In fact, I know that we don't. But we sometimes discourage one another simply because we haven't thought through what we're saying and how to say it. Simply because we haven't considered one another and how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. The reality is, encouragement doesn't happen by accident, and it never will. If we just think that we're going to stumble into encouraging our brethren, that we'll just haphazardly kind of build someone up, that's never going to happen. Encouragement always happens or only happens when we are intentional about it, when we take the time to be thoughtful, when we take the time to consider how to accomplish that task. Sometimes we fail to be encouragers because we don't truly know one another. We don't truly know what we need, what others need to be encouraged in. I invite you to flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to just notice, at least initially, one thing that Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, Paul says to the Ephesians, he says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Paul says that every word we speak should be run through this sort of a filter, right? Is that word good for edification? Is that word going to build up other people or tear them down? Is that word appropriate for the need of the moment or the occasion? And will that word give grace to the hearer? If any of those things doesn't apply to that word you're thinking about using, then don't say that thing. This speaks to our need, to the need for consideration on our part, as we've just described. But I think there's an important implication here for us. That in order to speak appropriate words, we need to know something about the one to whom we're speaking. Because if we're going to make our words appropriate for the need, appropriate for the situation, for the setting, how can we do that if we know nothing about what the need is? How can we begin to offer encouraging words to someone that we don't know anything about? If we don't know what their need is for encouragement, if we don't know what their struggle is, or what their convictions are, or what their personality is, or what their motives are, how can we begin to try to encourage them? How can we begin to know if our words are appropriate for the setting or appropriate for the need of the moment? We are certain to find ourselves doing far more discouraging if we don't get to know one another on a more personal level. Let me just offer one final thought here about this. Why do we fail to be encouragers from time to time? I think sometimes we fail to be encouragers simply because of laziness. Maybe we assume someone else will do it. Maybe we assume it's not my job. Somebody else can accomplish that just as well. Maybe we don't think it's all that important. Yes, we know that we should encourage people. We don't want to discourage people, but it's not really that big a deal. The result is that we might neglect opportunities to be encouragers simply because we're not interested in doing so. And I would just simply remind us that in James chapter 4 and verse 17, the scriptures say, "Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin." There are lots of reasons why we might be, why we might fail to be encouragers. But what can we do? What can we do to become better encouragers? Because that's the goal, right? Scriptures lay it out plainly. We have an obligation to one another to encourage one another, to build one another up, and that's what we want to be doing. So what are some concrete things that we can do to be encouragers? Let me first say this, that if we're going to be encouragers, we need to say uplifting things. I hope that observation is almost too obvious. Like, of course, if we're going to be encouragers, we need to say uplifting things to one another. Right there in Ephesians chapter 4, if you haven't turned too far away from it, we read verse 29 already, where Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 that we need to let no unwholesome word proceed from our mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. So Paul's talking about our words, and he's talking about the things that we say, and we need to make sure that the things that we say are good for edification, that they are good for uplifting those in the needs of the moment that they have right then. But Paul also goes on to say in verse 30, he says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." So Paul says that we need to be speaking only those things that are right for the occasion. What does that look like? Well, here's a start. If you want to be an encourager, if you want to say things that are good for the moment, that are helpful in the occasion that's in front of you, then start by putting away any words that come from anger, that come from clamor, the noise of the masses, that come from slander or malice. If that is the motivation of your words, put those things away. And in turn, use words that come from kindness, tender-heartedness, words that are born out of forgiveness. One of the most concrete steps we can take to being better encouragers is to avoid our inclination to say negative things, specifically those negative things that come from places of anger and malice, things that come from clamoring and gossip. If we can practice saying positive things to and about one another, then we will go a long way toward becoming encouragers. The kinds of encouragers that God wants us to be. I think if we want to be encouragers, we need to point people to Scripture. In other words, we need to let Scripture do the talking for us as often as possible. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. In Romans 15 and verse 4, Paul says, "Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." According to Paul, the Bible is given for our encouragement. The Bible is designed to give us hope and to motivate us to be the kinds of people God wants us to be and to encourage us to that end. That being true, I think we would do well to point those who need encouragement most to God's Word, to the Scriptures. Perhaps the best thing that we can offer others who are in need of real encouragement is not platitudes or niceties, but is Bible study. Offer them the opportunity to sit down with you and just read God's Word. After all, God can certainly say whatever needs to be said far better than you or me, can't He? One final observation. If we want to be encouragers, we need to be willing to bear one another's burdens. That, of course, comes from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, where Paul simply offers that instruction to bear one another's burdens. There is, I think, an unfortunate tendency to look down our noses at people who struggle, at people who doubt, or people who fail from time to time. And it's easy to throw verbal jabs or unapproving looks, but it's hard to be an encourager. Because encouragers don't just look down on those who struggle. Encouragers get down with them and help them lift their burdens. Help them get back up from their place. Being an encourager is not about saying the right words. Sometimes it involves the words we say. But being an encourager is not just about what you say. It's about how you serve others. How you help them get up to where they need to be. How you lift their burdens off of them. We need to be encouragers, don't we? I think everybody here wants to be an encourager. Nobody here is going to say, "I'm not really into that encouraging thing." Everybody wants to be encouraged. Everybody wants to encourage others. But it's hard. It's hard to be a good encourager. We need encouragers in this church. We have encouragers in this church. This isn't a lesson saying that y'all aren't encouraging. But it's a challenge to be more encouraging. It's a challenge to make every effort in everything that we say. And in everything that we do, to be encouragers, just as God commanded us to build one another up. May God help us be encouragers. May God help us lift one another up and strengthen one another so that we can together rest assured in the hope that He has given us in His Son, Jesus Christ. If you need to be encouraged, we'd love to do that for you. We'd love to encourage you, to build you up. And so we'd love to have you come and put your faith in Christ, submit to His instructions, be baptized for the remission of your sins. We'd love to help you do that, encourage you to do that. If there's any way that we can serve you in your spiritual life, if you need to come and make sins known, if you'd like encouragement in that, overcoming those issues, those struggles that you have in your life, we want to encourage you in that as well. We want to be an encourager for you as much as we want you to be an encourager for us. So you're welcome to come and let us know how we can serve you and how how we can serve one another as we stand and as we sing this song of encouragement.